San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB Studios in beautiful San Diego. With 50,000 watts of power, we reach not just San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a marathon runner. He's a family office expert, advises many high-net-worth families. He's a core member of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable of San Diego. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. I'm a little bit sore because I ran a half marathon this morning, but I don't want to talk about running quite yet. I want to talk about the fact that it was light outside when I drove up. I like this.
That extra hour, you know, sunrise at 7, sunset at 7. Yeah. You know, love that.
I like it.
Hey, you've got the shirt on, don't you, there?
Yeah, I have the shirt on, but we should talk about what we did last week first.
We should, and then we'll get up to today's half marathon.
So what did we do last week? And we did two things. We went to Wendy Gillespie's house.
Yes, we did.
Co-producer of Allegiance with starring George Takei.
Absolutely.
And why did we go there, Joe?
Well, she had a screening, a private video that they made of the play at the Old Globe when it had its run here. And she had some very special guests there, investors and people who are fans of the show. And that was it. And it was just a spectacular night. She's got a wonderful home in Point Loma, and really appreciate her inviting us.
And Wendy's trying to get the show on Broadway. I guess they've made pretty good progress at raising funds to be able to do that. I guess you need about 75% capital committed to get accepted, and they're well on their way, which is good news.
Yeah, so it looks like in the fall they'll be on Broadway, which is, you know, another feather in San Diego's theatrical cap, as they say.
Yeah, that was the largest grossing performance, I guess, in the history of the Old Globe.
That's saying something.
It really is.
Anyway, and then also the run, finished Chelsea's run.
We were members of the Nathan Fletcher racing team, but Joe, it didn't look like you were racing.
Well, you know what? I was actually torn because I was on Team Fletcher, but I also was on Team First Lady. So I was wearing one T-shirt. I was wearing Team Fletcher's shirt over my Team First Lady shirt.
Okay.
And so half the race I ran, wore one, and half I wore the other. But anyway, and I pretty much walked most of it with Bronwyn. So.
But it was fun. Great cause. You know, Nathan, when he was in the assembly, I guess, was the driver behind Chelsea's law.
Yeah, I got an email. I guess he's helping get this similar laws passed in other states as well. So good for him and all the great work he's done and continues to do.
Yeah, and that was a great event. So it was a lot of fun.
Yes. Now, what about today's race?
I ran the San Diego Half Marathon today.
Where did that start?
It started at Petco Park and it finished at Petco. And we got to run from Barnett Street, up Washington, up India, up Washington Hill, up to Goldfinch. It's like miles 8 to 10, like climbing stairs. It was fun, but here's my funny running story. You ready for my funny running story? So about a month ago, my wife, Mary, who owns the Brighter Side, says, hey, I want to start racing as a runner. And every year she does maybe 2 or 3 5Ks, because, you know, she does the Oceanside Turkey Trot that I'm the founder of, and she'll do a couple of cancer runs because she owns the Brighter Side in Solana Beach, which is a boutique for women with cancer. But she was never really serious about trying to run. She would just go out and, you know, sort of jog a course. So about a month ago, she says, I want to take up, you know, running competitively. I said, that's great. So I took her over to Nitro in Encinitas to buy her some really good Newton running shoes so she could have some really good lightweight, fast shoes. And I told her about the Moving Shoes Running Club in Encinitas at the Lumberyard on Monday evening so she could hook up maybe with a team and give her a little bit of advice about how to start running. So 2 weeks ago, she goes over to La Costa Canyon with me to run the Maverick Mile. That's where Courtney, who does our website, iymoney.com, if you ever need the best website person in the county, people just track Courtney down. But don't take up too much of her time because we need her. But Courtney's oldest boy goes to La Costa Canyon, and her younger kids will go there too. And so they were just raising funds. So my wife runs a mile around the track, which is the first time she really ran a race where she was, you know, really trying. And then, of course, she was on the Nathan Fletcher racing team last week, and she went out and ran the 5K harder than any 5K she's ever run, and she ran it, I think it was in 28 minutes and 32 seconds, which is a 9:11 pace, which is really good because, that, as you know, Joe, that was a real hilly course. So after the race, Mary says, you know, I could have done a lot better than that. And I said, well, you're running the 5K because in addition to the half marathon this morning, there was also a 5K that went from Hillcrest down to Petco.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're running the 5K next Sunday at the San Diego Half. I said, you know, that's a gently downhill sloping course because it goes from Hillcrest to Petco. So I said, just air it out. You know, just go there. So I walked her to the bus at 6:15 this morning because you had to get on the bus, you know, at Petco. And then you know, the bus takes you to the start line.
Don't tell me she outran the bus, no.
Almost. And then, of course, I didn't know how she did because I'm running, you know, I'm out there for an hour and 50 minutes or whatever running the half marathon. So I asked her how she did. She goes, well, I did really well. I ran, you know, like 25 minutes and something. So I go online to look up how she did. And she came in. This is funny. She came in 41st out of 638 women.
Oh, my gosh.
She beat all but 100 of the hundreds of guys who ran. I won't tell you her age. She's a little bit younger than me. I run in the 50 to 54 division. She ran 25 minutes and 46 seconds, which is an 8:18 pace compared to a 9:11 pace the week before. Hmm. And you ready for this? She comes in first place out of the 31 women in her age division. Hmm. She wins the gold medal. Beats the woman who comes in second by 17 seconds, and the woman who comes in third by 18 seconds.
Mary has not been training in it for
any... Well, she's been training for like 3 weeks. And she gets the gold medal in her age group. Of course, she doesn't really think about it, so she doesn't hang around to pick the medal up.
She's been eating alfalfa for the past 3 years.
Yeah, she has. And the two women she beat who are in her age group, you know, who came in second and third, that she beat by 17 seconds and 18 seconds, respectively, they're 3 years younger and 2 years younger than her. But, you know, the age groups are 5 years apart, you know, 5 years wide.
Hmm.
So she just went out there and smoked the course.
Well.
And won her first gold medal.
Well, Mary, congratulations.
So congratulations, Mary. Way to go, girl.
That's an inspiring, you know.
It just shows you what you can do when you get out on the course and say, well, I'm going to just see what I got, see what's inside of me.
And make the commitment. I can't believe she hasn't been running all that.
She's a really good athlete. She just, you know, would run maybe 3-5 Ks a year or whatever.
But she'd been running regularly for how many years just recently?
She took it up in the first week of February. That's a month ago. So Joe, the moral of the story is, Joe, there's hope for you.
Yes, there is. Well, I am losing some weight, but I'm
good for you.
I will get up. Now that'll inspire me to get after it in earnest. So
yeah. So anyway, gold medal. You know, so it's like, okay, there's an interesting running story for you.
Now you've got to get first in your age group, Richard, right?
My problem is I'm almost 55, and the group goes from 50 to 54, so I'm really old in my age group.
Well, maybe...
You know, just comparatively speaking. I think I've won about 20 golds.
Really?
Yeah, well, when I turn 55 next year, I'm young again in terms of, you know...
That's right.
Because I'll be in the 55 to 59. Yes. I mean, I'll still be young, but compared to the competitors, I'll really be young.
Well, that's...
So we'll see.
Yeah.
I ran okay today.
How was it? Was it hot out there, or was it...
No, it was nice. It was nice. You know, because of the time change, we started at 7:18, which was... I mean, the sun was barely up.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt good.
Outstanding.
If it wasn't for that hill.
I ran a half marathon once. I ran the American's Finest City, the one that starts in Point Loma, ends in Balboa Park.
That's got a nice finishing hill.
I didn't realize there was a hill. You don't realize it's just a gradual slope, but you're driving it all the time. But, man, at the end of the 13th mile there.
Yeah, I know.
That was my last half marathon, by
the way. Your first and your last. There you go. Yeah.
1984, yep.
Good for you. Everybody should do at least one in their lifetime. Anyway, should we do the show or just talk about running?
We should.
Oh, okay.
Who do we have in studio tonight, Richard?
We have Alex Sonkin, who's the CEO of the Lombardi Group and Fact Pattern Analytics and a couple of other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, welcome.
Richard, thank you.
Have we bored you to tears here? You do a lot of running because you have like 4 kids, 6 and under, right?
Apparently there's someone else in your family that could beat me in a 5K.
that's right. Alex did the Oceanside Turkey Trot, and after I did the 5-miler, I'm not going to tell the story.
Well, but I didn't realize you had 20 gold medals, Richard.
Okay.
So I'm intimidated now.
But we had the boys out from the Lombardi Group doing the Oceanside Turkey Trot. You know, and just to see me in the turkey costume.
That's it. That was awesome. That was a sight to behold. I have pictures, by the way.
Good. You can bribe me someday.
That's right.
Extortion. So, Alex, brief background. Where do you come from? What do you do?
Born and raised, education, all that. Start at the beginning a little bit.
Start at the beginning. I was born and raised in Russia, actually, Minsk, which is now part of Belarus. Let's see. Education, University of Michigan.
When did you come over to this country?
Came over to this country in 1979. I was 7 years old.
So do you remember much about Russia?
I remember going to kindergarten.
Okay.
So that's about it. And I remember coming over through Austria and Italy and into Chicago, and really grew up in Chicago. Parents were both engineers, and figured out how to pay my way through school through University of Michigan, so I owe them a debt of gratitude for that. Not sure if they're listening to you, but thanks, Mom and Dad. And finally made my way to San Diego, beautiful San Diego. But before I came out here, I was spent about 9 years as a professional option trader. I was a member of the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, Chicago Board of Options Exchange, and that was quite a lot of fun back in the day when the markets were rocking and rolling. It was big volume days and a lot of fun.
Stressful too?
Very, very stressful. But you know, once you figure out how to make a couple dollars down there, it takes about 2 years to figure it out. And you know, it was just I realized I as well as you could do down there, there's no way you're going to get an ocean view living in Chicago, Illinois. And somehow or other, I figured out how to get down here to beautiful San Diego.
So San Diego was what year?
San Diego was 2003, 2004. So we've been here for quite some time. It's
And how old are you? How old are the kids now?
My oldest is 6.
Okay.
I've got a 5-year-old. Marcellus is 6. Mila's 5. Miles is turning 2 this month, and Michaela is 6 months.
Wow.
So we're.
I don't know what I'm stunned. How do you do it?
It's really my wife. My wife handles most of it, and I'm very blessed to have her.
And just briefly, tell the listeners what your wife does, because she's got a great product that everybody should know about. That's not what the show is about, but people should know about this.
I'm very proud of my wife. My wife is the founder of Go Macro, GoMacro.com.
They make really yummy,
delicious protein and energy bars, and I'm sure you will enjoy one after your race today that I handed to you.
But, thank you.
Her and her mom, Amelia, built an incredible company, and thank God, because that's pretty much what my family eats throughout the day, throughout the week, that we know is actually tasty and healthy.
Yeah, the stuff's really good. www.gomacro.com, right?
That's right.
Yeah, check it out. Highly recommend it. So you do some interesting things now. In the financial, well, speaking generally, say in the wealth advisory world.
That's right.
Tell us what you do.
You know, I was blessed. I don't come up with any really good ideas. I'm blessed to find very incredible people like my wife. And I found a gentleman called Anthony Lombardi out here who was wearing a Michigan hat at the gym. And so I wanted to talk to him about Michigan football. And a couple of years later, we actually started. We partnered together, and he created this incredible company called Lombardi Group that I'm now the CEO of. I don't know how that happened, but it's an amazing story. He has figured out a way to support CPA firms and law firms and kind of showed me the inefficiencies that the CPA and the law firm market had, and he's been perfecting his model for 16, going on 17 years now, and I've been with him for close to 5. And what we do is we allow CPA firms and law firms to access this hub, this think tank that Anthony's been developing and I've been developing with him for the last 5 years of the top specialists in every area of tax planning from everything across the board. There's 80,000 pages in the tax code, and so a CPA or an attorney, you know, may know at most 10%. And what we do is we've harnessed the top captive insurance people, the top ESOP providers, the top third-party administrators, the top qualified plan designers. In fact, we have specialists from around the country finding us and introducing their specialties. And what we do is we ensure that the best of the best of the best in every area of the tax code is available so we can bring them to our clients who are CPA firms and law firms who are working to proactively plan for their business owners that they serve.
And you use the word proactively plan. The percentage of CPA firms that you see out in the marketplace who actually are, shall we call them proactive? What do you think, if you had to guess?
Well, you know, I think I'd say 5% of the CPAs.
So one out of every 20, for those of you who don't like percentages.
Are proactively planning.
Yeah.
And, you know, to their defense, you know, CPAs have how many deadlines, Richard?
Hey, we got a deadline right
18.
Here.
Oh, wait, we got a deadline right here.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more. It's your money and your life.
Hang on, I got to crack out a tax return. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life with Richard Musio, myself, and our special guest, Alex Sunkin. Welcome back, gentlemen. Where were we?
Thanks, Joe. We're talking about CPAs who are, of course, buried in tax season, right? So Alex, who is the CEO of the Lombardi Group, also a company called Perfect Client that we'll talk about, also Fact Pattern Analytics that we'll talk about. Alex was quoted recently in Accounting Today, which is the most widely read accounting journal, assuming CPAs have time to read. And Alex said this, and then I'm going to ask him to comment on this. Alex's quote was, "The real inconvenient truth is that the current model upon which advisors, CPAs, specialists, and attorneys attempt to work together is broken, and deep down everybody knows it. The industry's responses, specifically from seasoned CPAs, top-performing advisors, and the AICPA, which stands for the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, has been humbling and overwhelming. Forward-thinking CPAs who understand and have a firm grasp on these concepts," which is the concept of, well, collaboration and working off of this platform that Alex described, "will undoubtedly be at the forefront of establishing themselves as the client's most trusted business advisor, creating new revenue streams, and dominating the marketplace." So what were you talking about?
That's a good question. You know, Lindsay Ferguson from the AICPA wrote a great article, Gaining from Your Client's Trust. And she put that out, I believe, in May of last year, where she talked about specifically how CPAs need to do more. They need to become this trusted business advisor. And I think everyone agrees that as a business owner, you need a CPA to be your right-hand man, to handle everything for you, to be more just a tax preparer. But what was left off that article was, how is a CPA supposed to become this trusted business advisor with so many deadlines, with so many B and C clients that they have to serve? There's really not enough time for them to cater to these A clients. So what Lombardi Group does, and what we're very, very passionate about, is allowing, as being a private label back office for leading CPA firms and law firms, and allowing them to spend more time with their best clients, taking fact patterns from those situations, whatever their business owners need from running their business, whether it's income tax mitigation, estate tax mitigation, retaining their top employees. They've got so many issues that business owners deal with. They want to take that off their desk, give it to their CPA, and the CPA takes that off his desk, gives it to us. We bring it to our team of specialists, analyze all the possible solutions, bring that back to our client, who's the CPA or the attorney, and then deliver that solution through our client to his very, very best client. So our CPA firms that we serve look really, really good in the process, and they're actually able to do everything, service their clients, and deliver the very best solutions, and do so with the limited time constraints that they have.
And so these CPAs are catering maybe to, say, the top 5 or 10% of their practices with this approach?
Exactly.
I mean, just roughly.
Well, we want the CPAs to actually be able to solve the biggest problems in their book of business, which typically come from their top A clients. Because what's happening right now is some of those A clients are leaving them and looking for other CPAs that could get them more value. And it's not really fair to the CPAs that are losing these clients, because what's happening is you have the leftist movement basically telling the world that the GEs of the world, the Goldman Sachs of the world, so on and so forth, are paying very little to zero tax after generating billions and billions of dollars of revenue. And so the average business owner making $5 million, $10 million and paying $3, $4, $5 million in tax is thinking, what's wrong with this picture? I'm only making so little, and I'm paying such a high percentage of my income in tax, where these big boys are paying zero. Something's got to give. So they're obviously blaming this issue on their CPA. Bottom line is, if a CPA actually has access to a hub that has the very, very best specialist across the 80,000 pages of the tax code on their team, they could solve a lot of these issues and look good in the process.
Yeah, the article that you mentioned by Lindsay Ferguson that came out, yes, it was May of 2012. I just confirmed that on the computer in front of me. That actually was sort of a follow-up article to a report that the American Institute of CPAs issued in late 2011 called CPA Horizons 2025, where the American Institute of CPAs interviewed 5,600 CPAs to attempt to define what the CPA profession looks like today, or about a year ago, and what the vision of the CPA profession will look like, say, in 14 or 15 years in 2025. And the conclusion in that article was really interesting. The conclusion was that the CPA industry is no longer defined by traditional services. By traditional services, the AIC means income tax preparation and financial statement preparation, which of course are two services that are historical or backwards looking. That is to say, you're reciting history. The conclusion the AICPA made is that the future of the profession is CPAs who are willing to look at applications that are forward-looking, whether that's business succession planning, estate planning, income tax planning, business profitability and cash flow improvement, risk mitigation, real-time accounting, the new sustainability accounting standard. You know, all of these forward-looking services is really where the future's going. But I noticed, like, if I go to a networking event, which I don't like doing because I hate networking, and I introduce myself to somebody and I say, hey, I'm Richard and I'm a CPA, they assume automatically that I do tax returns, which, you know, the AICPA says the profession's not being defined by that anymore, yet the profession hasn't done a good job of explaining to consumers, clients of CPAs, that CPAs can do so much more. And this is really what you're doing, right, Alec?
That's exactly it.
So much more. And it's a challenge in the CPA profession because I think most, well, Alec, tell me if you agree or not, aren't most CPAs sort of stuck in a comfort zone?
They are. They're doing great. You know, people need them. The complexity of doing taxes is off the charts. So everyone needs a good CPA, and it's been good. It's been good up until now. But the challenge now is that the A clients, the guys who are really operating highly successful, highly profitable businesses, they need a lot more from their CPA. And unless their net worth is in the $150 million range or higher, where they can afford a family office and really design their complete team around them, most of these business owners in the $10 to $80 million range are kind of stuck. They have a CPA over here, they have an attorney over here, they have a financial advisor over here, they have some other salespeople trying to sell them stuff over here, and this is really not an efficient structure because those players typically don't work as a team. And what we've done is we've actually built the team to support our client who is the proactive tax attorney or the proactive CPA, and that team has everything on it. So when that business owner has an issue and brings it to their CPA, that CPA can actually have access to the top specialists in the country who all work as part of a team, sort of like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen working together, trusting each other. And yeah, for a while, Michael Jordan was earning all those scoring titles, not winning any championships. Once he learned how to trust that team, they had six banners hanging there in Chicago Stadium.
Well, that's a good note to go to our break on. So we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life after these announcements. Stay tuned. All right, we're back with the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life. And now it's time to go over to Richard and thank all of our sponsors.
I want to thank all of our sponsors. At the top of the list, UBS, Mr. Michael Coruncha and Drew Freitas. Drew Freitas, of course, was named one of the top 1,000 advisors in the U.S. by Barron's recently. Also one of the top 100 in California. And, of course, they were the only firm in San Diego listed. So congratulations. That's a great accomplishment. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Joel will be our guest next week. We'll actually be doing a real-life case on air about how cost segregation saves real estate owners tons of money by improving cash flow. Jason Kruger, new daddy, with Signature Analytics, best CFO service in San Diego. Carl Sheeler in Business Valuations Limited. Carl's got a great event coming up on March 22nd. Maybe more on that next week. Our favorite CPAs, whether in tax season or out, Don Epic and Paul Polito with Polito Epic CPAs in Vista. Rich Gaines, who's going to be a guest in April, best estate planning attorney in San Diego with Family Legacy Legal. And last but not least, San Diego's best business bank and San Diego's best business banker. That would be Sean Puckett with Regents Bank. And Joe, people can go to our website, iymoney.com, and learn what about our sponsors?
Well, if they go to iymoney.com and click on sponsors, all of their information is there, all their bios, all their emails, all their phone numbers, everything you need to know, and they're all tops in their field, and I'm sure they can all help you out in one capacity or another. So there you have it.
And speaking of contact information, Mr. Alec Sonkin, how may our listeners get a hold of you?
You can contact us through factpatternanalytics.com. Also, we have another company that trains financial advisors to work with CPAs and be more valuable to CPAs and attorneys called myperfectclient.com.
Okay, so myperfectclient.com and factpatternanalytics.com.
Correct.
Perfect. Perfect. So before the break, we were talking about some of the challenges in the CPA world. And one thing I noticed that's sort of interesting about CPA firms is how they define their clients. They sort of define their clients CPA-centrically or from inside out. They sort of define them as income tax clients or financial statement or accounting clients or consulting clients or maybe a combination of both. I've always sort of identified successful clients as being one of five types, the first being high net worth families, whatever it is that they do, the second being two classifications of successful closely held businesses, those that are planning a liquidity event someday, in other words, a sale or public offering, and the other type being those that are planning to keep the successful family business in the family, so succession planning, you know, planning for the next generation being important. The fourth type, and this is very prevalent in San Diego, are clients who are very successful real estate operators, whether that's, you know, owning, developing, construction, whatever the case may be. And then the last, I think, big five of best kinds of clients are anybody who has a large W-2, in other words, large income, say $780,000 or more on a W-2, whether they own the company that is issuing the W-2 or not, large W-2 earners. So it really, what you were alluding to before we went to the break is what CPAs have to maybe get better at if they want to serve these kinds of clients well, that is to say, drive the value that these clients deserve to these clients. You sort of suggested they have to be, CPAs have to become better at managing relationships. Did I get that right?
Well, the average CPA is managing so many relationships with his A clients, B clients, C clients. He's also managing, if he does have a network of relationships, he's got so many different service providers he's managing. And really, that just becomes too much. It's just too much. And then the tax code keeps changing every year.
That's so too much, the tax code.
So to really provide world-class service, what we're, you know, the way we work with clients is we tell them, look, you need to spend your time with your A clients, your very, very best clients, your, also your B clients as well.
By time, you mean actually in front of the client.
Actually spending time connecting with their clients, finding out what wakes them up at 3 o'clock in the morning, making sure that they actually can provide the value that these business owners need to overcome the challenges and be productive, be profitable, create jobs in our communities, just things like that. In order to do that, they actually need a team. They need a team to be able to manage all those other solution provider relationships. So that could be coordinated over here. I'm speaking with my hands. Obviously, you can't see that. You're on the radio. And on the other hand, they could, you know, their time should be spent with their very, very best clients, providing that service, asking the right questions, delivering solutions.
So interesting article that came out of the AICPA about 2 years ago. It was titled, Seven Reasons Clients Leave Their CPAs. Sort of like, you know, Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. But number one is really interesting because this is two-thirds. That would be 67% for those of you who don't do don't do fractions. Some of our listeners are math challenged. Two-thirds said, my accountant, CPA, doesn't treat me right. And the second one is sort of closely related. CPAs ignore their clients. What are clients talking about here?
You know, it's unbelievable. Because the CPA is so challenged, they are trying to get so many tax returns out the door. They forget that they're human beings on the other side who are trying to make money. And I guess our clients don't do that, but apparently other CPAs do that. We've seen situations where the CPA is actually proactive. He actually gets it. He actually knows the answer to the client's problem. And the challenge is he just calls him on the phone and says, hey, you need to do this, and this will solve your tax problem. Well, you can't deliver a solution over the phone like that. You need to spend time with them in the office, do it in a systematic way, because what's happening is these business owners hear, wow, I need to do this captive. I need to do an ESOP. And they contact their CFO, say, hey, find me a captive provider. Find me an ESOP provider. And all of a sudden, they introduce this new captive provider to the table. Well, it comes through the CFO. It's not coming through the CPA. Next thing you know, this new captive provider is introducing this business owner to another CPA that specializes in their industry and has got many clients just like that. Now the CPA is being fired because he's just simply lobbed over the answer as opposed to delivered it into a systematic solution way. So even when they're doing everything right, it's not enough. It needs to be done perfectly.
Yeah, and that's the whole concept behind the AICPA's Trusted Business Advisor Program. They're trying to position the CPA from a branding perspective as being the most trusted business advisor to business clients and owners of successful closely held business. So funny story, won't mention any names. I was out talking to a CPA about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I said, so when do you hear from your best clients? And he said, well, I hear from my best clients when they have a problem. And I said, why do your best clients have a problem? I said, don't you reach out to your best clients to make sure that, let's say, that you're mitigating risk or mitigating problems before they have a problem? And of course, his response was, well, I'm so incredibly busy with the exigencies of tax season and extensions after tax season and, you know, all the accounting changes and all the foreign reporting regulations and the fiscal cliff bill. He says, we just don't have time to really reach out to our clients, so we just hear from the best ones when there's a problem. I was trying to, you know, get the light bulb to go on to maybe show him that there was a better way to approach the value that they drive to their best clients. But that's not the sad thing is that's not a unique story. That basically defines 90-something percent of the CPA profession. I mean, wouldn't you agree in terms of what you see? Because that's what I see.
Absolutely. Like I said, they've been living fat and happy, these CPAs, for many, many years. And what's happening now, what's really driving them being so attracted to a firm like Lombardi Group is they are losing some of their best clients, where by the time your client has a problem with you or the service you're providing, it's already too late. You need to be proactive. And especially when some of these best clients represent, you know, $50,000, $100,000 fees yearly that they're being charged by their CPA, and they're gladly pay those fees as long as there's value being delivered. By the time a CPA's client's not happy with them, that's too late. So they need to do more. They need to actually get them on the phone and ask them a series of questions to find out what those issues are, what's keeping them up at night, and then have a team to support them to be able to deliver the very, very best solutions without losing control of that client, as opposed to referring their best clients out to a third-party specialist. Because if they do that to provide that service, and that specialist does a world-class job, all of a sudden now that end-user business owner is bragging about the specialist and not the CPA, and the specialist gets all the credit, and the CPA is standing over here just saying, wow, at least I get to maintain this relationship for now.
Well, actually, the CPA is crossing their fingers and getting down on their knees and praying that the referral didn't screw something up. Because I find there's two challenges with referrals. Number one, as you mentioned, it's a loss of control by the referee.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one is that most people don't think about. Most CPAs make referrals when a client has a need or a want that's being unmet. Well, if the professional service advisor, CPA attorney, whomever, was more proactive, they might have already identified that need or that want or that issue before the client had to pick up the phone and say, I'm missing this, I don't get this, I need this resource. And the challenge there is if they are only perceiving their CPA or their attorney as a cost as opposed to perceiving them as a value-driven benefit, what happens with costs? Costs get cut. And at that point, the professional service advisor, CPA, attorney, anybody else, is in danger by being replaced by somebody else because they aren't being perceived as a value driver by their customer.
Absolutely. And what we're seeing now is this evolution from the CPA evolving into this trusted business advisor. The drivers of this is that they are able to do it if they find the right kinds of teams. The other driver of this is, like I said, they are losing some of their very, very best clients, and they're trying to figure out why, and they're trying to prevent this from happening again. Third-party referrals are extremely dangerous. They provide no value to the CPA. They only provide downside risk. They've been able to get away with this for many, many years just because everybody's been doing it. But now the stakes are so high, the competition is so high, and these A clients are moving. They are in motion. We believe that, you know, 5% of the top business owners out there are all looking for a new CPA. In fact, 36% of business owners are actively searching for a new CPA. So the CPAs that position themselves in the right way are able to solve these problems with the very, very best specialist in town, are able to capture these very, very good clients that are leaving other CPA firms.
And I was checking out your website, factpatternanalytics.com, and that's really the subject matter of that particular website about how CPAs can sort of put out to the brain trust these particular situations or fact patterns that the successful clients have and get input back from some of the brightest people on the planet about things that maybe the CPA hasn't considered or the client hasn't considered, all without the CPA losing control. In fact, it's a way for, I think, CPAs to really become heroes to their best client so that the client becomes extremely loyal because they can't do without the CPA because of their ability to access such tremendous resources.
Richard, where can CPAs get better trained in the advisory role? Obviously, it's not something they get...
You know, it's a challenge. The AICPA has put out a program to attempt to help CPAs become, you know, the trusted business advisor. But one of the challenges with the AICPA's program is it's sort of a checklist-based approach. And, you know, CPAs love checklists. That's great. But really, I think to become good at it, CPAs have to be good at asking their best clients questions and learning how to listen. I think most CPAs are inclined to answer questions and solve problems, even when they're not being asked the question. You know, the client asks a question and the CPA says, well, here's the answer. I think you have to be good at asking questions and listening. And so, I like what the AICPA is trying to do philosophically, but I think their sort of checklist-based approach doesn't necessarily work because it has to be client-centric, not CPA-centric. Yeah.
Well, we have to take a break right there, Richard. Hold that thought. We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after these words. Hang on. All right, we're back for the last lap of It's Your Money and Your Life with marathon runner Richard Musio and Alex Sonkin. Take it away, Richard.
So, Alex, you mentioned fact pattern analytics. I've been privileged to present at a presentation that you folks do a couple times a year to CPAs called the Advanced Tax Planning Institute. We call it the ATPI, which sort of goes hand in hand with fact pattern analytics. Can you tell our listeners how this works?
Yeah, ATPI, Advanced Tax Planning Institute, is something we've built out for our CPA firms and law firms that are clients of Lombardi Group. And we allow advisors from around the country that go through the My Perfect Client system to invite their CPAs and attorneys from around the country. We bring the most talented specialists around the country. They're all CEOs from their own companies. They're specialists in various areas of tax planning, like I said, from captive insurance to employee stock ownership plans to cost segregation. Joel Grushkin presents at our events. In every single area, from tax credits and R&D, anything you can think of that's of value, that's prominent right now in planning, we bring those speakers to Advanced Tax Planning Institute. They educate our clients on it. Our clients receive 24 continuing education credits for participating. And this way, they come twice a year. They're able to learn the very, very latest strategies, get their CE credits done, and be able to bring those solutions back to their clients. Now, fact pattern analytics is something that we have. We just have this little hub at our company. It's a pleasure to have it. And what we've done is we've said, listen, if you're a financial advisor and you are in New York or Florida or anywhere in the country, and you are trained to manage after-tax dollars and you have a business owner, you have a relationship with a CPA that has a business owner, it's a very, very complicated situation. They have a unprotected estate worth $50 million. They're earning $10 million a year, $5 million a year. They have an income tax problem. They want to retain employees. Whatever those situations are, the average financial advisor is really not trained to solve those issues. So they take that information, they send it to factpatternanalytics.com, and Fact Pattern Analytics analyzes that data, contacts the appropriate specialists, has them design the appropriate solution, then brings that solution to the advisor, has them work with those specialists so he can deliver that solution through their CPA to his business owner and solve the problem.
So you mentioned perfect client, and you mentioned wealth advisors who want to cater to CPAs. So the ATPI and Perfect Client then also assist, for example, money managers, registered investment advisors, et cetera, who want to market to CPAs and CPA firms as opposed to trying to find the clients who work for CPAs. Am I getting that right?
That's exactly right. And what we found is if you have this team of specialists and you can solve any tax problem in the world, if you go directly to the business owner, they're not going to understand what you're talking about. They're going to say, wow, this is interesting. Or even if they do understand it, they're going to basically bring it to their CPA to review it. So what My Perfect Client, or Perfect Client does at MyPerfectClient.com, it trains financial advisors how to develop strategic, profitable relationships with CPAs and attorneys so they can access the team from Fact Pattern Analytics and actually bring this team and to their clients, their new clients who are CPAs and attorneys, and actually solve business challenges, income, estate tax challenges through their CPAs to these business owners and affect change in their communities.
So the wealth advisor is in effect working to make the CPA the hero to the CPA's best clients, sort of with a white label kind of approach.
Do you work with CFOs at all, or is that a different scenario?
Absolutely. Well, our firm, Lombardi Group, we work with CPAs who work with CFOs, our clients are professionals. They have to be CPAs or attorneys, sometimes private bankers. And ultimately, we're working through them to these business owners. When we engage through the CPA with the business owner, we do interface with the CFOs. We do interface with those business owners, but as part of the CPA's team. And that's what we teach at Perfect Client, is for the financial advisor, you don't have to be the hero. The hero needs to be the most trusted business advisor to the business owner, which is typically the CPA, sometimes the attorney. If you change your business model to support that player in the financial marketplace, you're going to have a lot more success. But you need to be able to develop those relationships appropriately. You also need to bring value to those relationships, and that's this team of specialists. And if you build value and trust in this systematic way that Perfect Client teaches you, you'll have tremendous success. You'll make a difference in your community, and you'll have a lot more time to spend with your family, your faith. Things are much more important to you than chasing end users around that may or may not understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, and of interest, the number six reason why clients leave CPA firms. This is interesting. Clients, number six reason why they leave CPA firms, because the CPAs treat clients like the client is a technician. That is to say, they use technical speak as opposed to getting down and giving real answers that clients can actually understand in plain English, as opposed to technical ease. Is that a term?
Yeah.
In other words, clients feel that there's no communication whatsoever because the CPA is speaking to them like they're an accountant.
Well, Richard,
with an accounting degree.
We've got to wrap it up here now. But Alex, thank you so much for being our guest tonight. It was a real privilege to have you here. And Richard, congrats on your run. And
congratulate Mary, not me.
And Mary. And thanks to Justin Hart on our board tonight, our board operator extraordinaire. Thank you to Craig Blank, our account executive, and Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. You have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week on It's Your Money and Your Life.
Thanks, everybody.
Jim is 38, mortgage, married, three great kids. He wants to protect his family with a $500,000 term life insurance policy. What do you think it will cost him? $100 a month? $60? $40? Actually, none of the above. Jim is in excellent health and can get a 10-year $500,000 policy through SelectQuote for under $19 a month. Jim's wife, Deirdre, 36, and also in great health, can get a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $16 a month. See how much you can save.
For a free quote, call 1-800-966-0399. That's 1-800-966-0399. 1-800-966-0399. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
We follow the story.
If the president's not going to kill him,
then we lead the conversation.
Why wouldn't he just say he's not going to kill him there?
Follow the leader. 760 KFMB.